and all the believers, the visitors, everyone present here and those who are in our prayers. I thank God for this opportunity to meet together one more time and pray together for the salvation of everyone, for the safety of everyone, and for the sake of everyone. I greet all of you, beloved in Christ. And I tried to come visit you yesterday and stay the whole weekend as usual and talk to many of you and meet with many of you here according to your needs. But my time was short and it was impossible for me to come before today. Today is the fifth Sunday after Pascha. And I pray that you had a glorious Pascha here in this holy community. And it's obvious to me that the way you sing Christ is risen with enthusiasm, so it means that you had a glorious Pascha, and your Pascha, the glorious Pascha, continues. And this is a great thing, because this is orthodoxy. This is orthodoxy. You know, my preaching was the past few weeks on the Holy Resurrection. And I said that this is the foundation, this is the fullness, and this is the glory, and this is the joy, the radiance of the Holy Resurrection. There is no any other foundation our church to be, to have, or to be built on it. So this is the only rock, Jesus Christ and His resurrection. This is the meaning of the Bible. We read the prophets, we read the prophecies, we read the chapters, we read, you know, like theology, we read everything. It's just to be able to perceive and to understand the holy resurrection of Him. Even His disciples were afraid, like, to proclaim the Holy Resurrection. But the women disciples did that. So that's why, you know, like, those who ask this question, what, you know, like, we as women, you know, what ministry do we have in the church? This is your ministry, to proclaim, to say the truth, to witness, to test, to give testimony. This is the most important, you know, like, first and foremost, if you like, ministry in the church given to non-ordained people. The other thing I was preaching, that the Holy Resurrection is not one day event. It is not like a calendar, you know, like we finish that day or the week or the month and we say goodbye, and if we are not like using, you know, like egg hunt in the church, so it means that there is no resurrection. No. So the Holy Resurrection is eternal. So that's why it's not by accident we say, we keep saying Christ is risen for 40 days and million of times in different languages. In different languages. And these languages, and I tell you, we have a problem in one parish that some people call the languages in the church, Christ is risen, like foreign languages. These are not foreign languages. This is the language we are proclaiming, Jesus' resurrection. So those who think of foreign languages, they are, you know, like tiny, little. So here, when we say Christ is risen, our mind goes to eternity. Goes beyond the tomb. Goes beyond material. Goes beyond, you know, anything human. Just in a few weeks from now, we will celebrate Pentecost. And we know what happened in Pentecost. Many people converted because they heard their language. So the Holy Spirit made them, you know, understand that the language of theology, if you like, the language of Pentecost. So they didn't claim, you know, like today the conflict between Jews and Samarians. No dealings between the two nations. No dealings between the two ethnicities. But Jesus' emphasis was to save this lady, to save this lost sheep. If our mind will keep on foreign language here and there, we will miss the whole point. Because a priest was preaching and was teaching and was asking the people to pray for the two kidnapped bishops in Syria. He was upset, somewhat upset in the church because we are, you know, like these people are not our people. Because we are praying for the people in Syria or in Africa or in the moon or some other planet, you know. The prayer is the most important thing, not those, you know, like areas or those cities, you know, we are praying for. So the people are the most important, you know, like things. So please, I ask you today, beloved in Christ, don't belittle the church by having this kind of thinking. Even the Bible has no meaning if our mind doesn't go into the eternity of the holy resurrection of Christ. Is it clear? Even the Bible itself, even the priesthood itself, even the episcopacy itself has no meaning if our mind doesn't go and stick there in the holy, eternal, holy resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is a joy. You know, this is a joy when we see Christ is risen in many languages. To affirm that Jesus spoke to all nations, to all humanity. So for sure we will pray for the kidnapped bishops. For sure we will pray for the Christians in Syria and for the all people in Syria. For sure we'll pray for the people in Africa and in anywhere in this life. We have no problem with that. We have no problem with that. So I said to that priest in Alaska, keep doing what you are doing, what you are asked to be doing. And let that man call me, if he dares to call me. Of course, until now, I'm waiting. I'm still waiting. So today, we learn a great lesson. You know, here, we are in North America, and our late patriarch Ignatius the Fourth, blessed memory, he had a vision when he opened the door for all of you. You remember that? He opened the doors when other doors were shut before you. He took the courage. And he took the criticism also at the same time. You know, some of our bishops here in North America were against your conversions. So our patriarch, with his eminence, opened the door for you. They didn't ask you what language, what ethnicity, what background, what da-da-da-da-da. The only thing they ask you, do you believe in the creed? Do you believe in the divine liturgy of St. John Chrysostom? Do you believe in what we believe? Do you believe in the Holy Trinity? Do you believe in the priesthood? Do you believe in the truth of the Orthodox Church? You said yes. Welcome home. Statement was, come home. This is, you know, like if we like that's Orthodox, this is the way we have welcoming everyone in our church. Look what happened, and Father John remembers this story because the Holy Spirit has been asked. Family in Denver, Colorado, went to the Jesuit, who is not in Germany, but he's Orthodox. And they said to him, Father, we heard about Orthodoxy. We want to inquire about Orthodoxy. We want to be written by them to become Orthodox. And the answer of that priest, Orthodoxy is not for you, it's not for us. Go. Go, leave the church. Go, find something else for yourself. And they moved their whole life from Denver, Colorado into Indiana. And the Holy Spirit led them to this good man. And he taught them, and he chrismated them, and they are Orthodox in our church. And every time I visit our home community in Diego, they tell me stories over and over and over. And I love to hear it. I love to hear it because it's meaningful, it's powerful. You remember that, family? So like a priest like this, when he makes a statement, you know, he has no clue about Orthodoxy himself. If he were a priest under me or under our archdiocese, he would be in trouble. So thank God, we are the way we are. Love people in general. You know, most of his people there in San Diego were not from American born. They loved him, they adored him, they until this moment they missed him so much. Because his mind was beyond the ethnicity and the language. He was not dealing with like the way the Jews and the Samaritans. In his mind, he didn't have such a thing. In his mind, the only thing he had to say to guide people. So that's why until his last moment before his retirement, he was so enthusiastic. The same with this people. Thank God for it. So beloved, in Christ's way, we learned how to be loving. In many ways, we learn and we know how to be loving. Another teaching to love other people they are. You know, I am a person to change you. I don't have any power against any one of you. But loving you by giving you the truth, by sharing with you the truth of the faith, we will be able to without like anyone pulling the flag on the other. I have so we are welcoming and the church is not for any ethnicity. The church is not for English or for Greek or for whatever. The church is the kingdom of God on earth. And in the kingdom of God, we don't speak languages. We think divinely and we act divinely. We don't marry and we don't get married in the kingdom of God. I said last time, I said, if not because of the sake of time, not to prolong the English language, I was able to say in millions of languages. Whether this man or that man likes it or not, it's his problem. Do we not want joy in the church? Do we not want to proclaim the fullness of the faith? Why not using God has given us in many ways communication. The language is a communication between missions. And everything belongs to this earth will go with us to the grave. Will never, ever any human Sunday or every Saturday when you have an opportunity to serve the divine liturgy. We begin when the priest goes to prepare the sacrament. The first thing he begins there is the nativity of Christ, Jesus Christ. We begin there at that corner behind the iconostasis. When we become with the sacraments to hear behind the holy altar, we end the divine liturgy with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. that is beyond Archbishop Joseph, beyond Father Y or Z, that is beyond the historic fact of life. That is the of our faith. And that is the foundation of our faith. So we live Jesus' life, and we live Jesus' passion, and we live Jesus' resurrection. You know, here, our Archdiocese, we don't serve the Divine Liturgy daily. But in the monasteries, in the regular gates, everywhere in Damascus, every day we serve the Divine Liturgy. Every day. Can we live without, you know, air? Without breathing? Can we live without food? Can we live without like, medicine, for example? Liturgy is all of that. The air we breathe, the light we see, the food and the vitamin we take, and so this is the Divine Liturgy. The Divine Liturgy is a necessity in our life. Not like this. The liturgical cycle belongs to every one of us. But the Divine Liturgy, with its meaning and its theology and its depth and divinity, belongs to God, and God has given this to us as a blessing. Today, another thing here I want to draw your attention, that the power of confession, beloved in Christ, the power of confession made the whole thing in this American lady go to your husband. I have no husband. So she was not afraid to say it. And when you spit it out, when something bothering you, spit it out in confession and start again. You know, I'm not afraid to say it before all of you. That's why before the community, before all of you, and I say, you know, forgive me, brothers and sisters in Christ, as a sinner. So the one who claims that he has no sin at all, that's the biggest sin. No one is perfect except God. No one. So why do we like to stay in pain? Do we like to stay in suffering? A new person. Why is this person for me? Lumen. She has been illuminated. A new life. You remember where we use that word illumination? In two places. The first one is during the pre-sanctified liturgy. We pray for the illumination of new catechumens. And the other one is a new life. So we have to be by confession, by starting a new page, by starting a new start. You know, the biggest problem in our lives in general, we already forgive everyone around us, but we don't know how to forgive ourselves. This is not a statement, this is not a label, this is from experience. So we are ready to say, you know, like, you are a wonderful person. by without home in Oklahoma. They say about 80,000 people killed in Syria within 2 years. We need the salvation.